بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It comes in hadith that in your days and nights there are certain selected moments, nafasat. Ala fata'arradu laha. When Allah Ta'ala has got these special selected moments, then you need to focus and you need to turn your attention towards these moments. This world belongs to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And he creates differences. One place is superior to the other place. The Haram Sharif in Makkah Mukarramah is 100,000 times superior to any other masjid. Then Madina Munawwara is 50,000 times superior. Then on this earth, one of the most virtuous of places that we go upon is the Riyazul Jannah, that portion which we know as the Peace of Jannah, or the Garden of Jannah. Then the most virtuous place really is that place on which the Mubarak body of Rasulullah SAW lay. So now these differences, one being superior to the other, these differences are differences made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they are made by Him, then they are not questionable that why did Allah ta'ala make this superior to the other? Why was one made superior to the other? Then the place, what we know as the masjid, is superior than your home. The namaz here offered in congregation in Jamaat is multiplied 27 times more. Then we find in times also Allah Ta'ala has created these differences, and in people also Allah Ta'ala creates differences. One is the normal creation, then you get the mu'min. The mu'min is a more selected class. Then above the normal mu'min is the awliya. The awliya are even more selected. Then above the awliya-i kiram, then you get the anbiya alayhimus salam. Then they are even more selected. Then above the anbiya alayhimus salam, you find the most selected of anbiya alayhimus salam. Then they are the most selected. The four anbiya that we know of, they rank superior than all the other anbiya alayhimus salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the same prevails amongst the malaika. All are sinless and all engage in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then you get four of them that are more notable and superior than the rest of the malaika. Again, these differences were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why He creates those differences are not known best to Him. See? Then we get differences in time, like you get a difference in place and you get a difference in time. The Jummah is known as the Sayyidul Ayyam. It's the best of all the days. Then in the 24 hours, the best moment is the moment of Tahajjud, when Allah Ta'ala is nearest to His servant. The du'as are very rarely answered at that time. هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ وَهَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَرْزِقٍ فَأَرْزُقَ لَهُ. Is there anybody asking for forgiveness that I may grant him the forgiveness? And anyone asking for rosy that I may grant him and bestow him my rosy? Then, throughout the year, the most virtuous of day is the day of Arafat. The most virtuous of month of Ramadan. So this differences that are created are the differences created and made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. It is not for man to ask why were these differences created. There was an email a few days ago, and they were asking about Taqdeer. So the simple answer is, this is the destiny of Allah Ta'ala, and the destiny of Allah Ta'ala is the perfection of His knowledge. Like, you go to the airport, and they will tell you that this plane is arriving at this time, and this plane is arriving at that time. There can be a discrepancy, there can be a mistake. 5 minutes earlier, 5 minutes later, there can be a mistake in their calculations and in their workings. But in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, there can't be any discrepancy, there can't be any mistake and error. His knowledge of the future is like His knowledge of the past. Like, if Allah Ta'ala says something about the past, it's 100%, it's immaculate, there is no discrepancy, there is no mistake. So similar is His knowledge pertaining to the future. In the entire equation, what are we required to do? Don't ask why has Allah Ta'ala prepared destiny and made taqdeer, but yes, what you need to know is, in this whole equation, what do we need to do? And this is the style of the Quran Sharif. The people had asked Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the crescent. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ So the Quran Sharif doesn't answer the question. Rather, it diverts the attention to something that they need and they require. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ Whilst we were studying in Dioban, so one student had the habit of asking too many questions, sometimes unnecessary questions, and sometimes he won't even practice. But very jolly student, very good-hearted student, and very bulky, extraordinarily bulky student. So he asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, is it sunnah to eat salt at the beginning or at the end? So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi told him, kam khana bhi sunnat hai. To eat less is also sunnat. You're asking about all this, but what pertains to your own self that you're not asking about? Asking of things that are not related. Ask things that are related. So the same, the Quran Sharif style is, it will divert your attention to things that are related to you. Now you ask about the waxing and the waning of the moon, all that doesn't relate to you. If you discovered that, then how do you benefit out of it? What do you get out of it? So leave those things. These areas, leave it out. Yes, those things that relate to you, then you must ask about it. Many a times our time is wasted in trying to find out things that do not relate to us. One person asked, all right, this Buzurg had given this person ijazat. He's given him the right to take bayat. So, but he was not supposed to give him that ijazat. Why did he give him that ijazat? That he can confer bayat to others. So when the Buzurg heard about it, he told him, see, in the grave, when the Munkar Nakir come and they ask you about this, then tell them that he didn't consult me and he just gave him the ijazat, you see. He didn't consult me. Without consulting me, he just gave him the ijazat. So why must you fall into it? It's not your business whether he gave this person, he gave that person ijazat. That wasn't your business. Why do you ask about it? Yes, you must ask about things that relate to you. What are my weaknesses? How must I correct them? What will be damaging for my akhirat? And what will be beneficial for my akhirat? That is what you must ask. But things that don't relate to you, it doesn't, then you mustn't ask about it. Some person came and asked the differences between Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Muawiyah, and what were the differences and who was on the right and who was not on the right. So the alim asked him, "By what do you do?" "You know, I'm a cobbler. I make shoes, I repair shoes. And what you do? I'm a tailor. But you carry on doing your tailoring and you do your cobblering. On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Pak were to ask you about their differences, and did you settle their differences, then you must say that they asked you not to fall into it, And Allah Ta'ala will not question you about it. Finished. Allah Ta'ala is not going to ask you about it. He didn't ask you to settle their differences. Now in the 21st century, you come about like a wise thing, like a smart thing, and you want to go sort of the difference that took place 20 to 15 centuries ago. That's not your business. It doesn't relate to you. One verse of the Quran Sharif, when we hear of people's differences, whether it's ulama differences, difference of the Sahaba Kiram, or any other difference, then it was the way of the pious of the past. Then they would recite this verse, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ عَالِمَ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِي يَخْتَلِفُونَ. O Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the knower of the seen, the knower of the open and the knower of the concealed. He's knower of the open and the one that is concealed. He knows both equally. عَالِمَ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. That you are the knower of that which is open, that which is concealed, and you will preside over your servants in those matters that they differ. أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِي يَخْتَلِفُونَ. So when your mind crosses over those things on which the Sahaba or other ulama-i kiram have differed, then straight away let your mind run on this verse here, that you are the creator, you are the creator. When you are the creator, then they are all your creations. And you're going to decide between them on the day of Qiyamah. So when you're going to decide between them on the day of Qiyamah, then you didn't ask me to decide in their differences. You didn't ask me to preside over their problems. You're going to decide, it's your department, you will decide. So you recite this verse in abundance, and it will bring you some type of normality, some type of calmness, that when Allah Ta'ala is going to decide, then this is not my department, it is not for me to worry about this thing, Allah Ta'ala is going to decide. أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ فِي مَا كَانُ فِي يَخْتَلِفُونَ. So many a times, our precious moments go in this thing here. What is going to come out? What are we going to get out of this whole thing? What a mu'min needs to see is, how does he benefit? If I'm getting into something, then how do I benefit in it? Not to get into a thing and we don't understand what's the benefit, what's the advantage, what's the gain, what's the loss. We don't understand and we just get into it. But that's not for a mu'min. It's not a believer. That's an unbeliever. He doesn't believe in the hereafter. He doesn't have the concept of reward of the hereafter. So he gets into it and that's his luck. But a believer who has got the concept of the hereafter, of virtue, etc., then no, he can't invest in his time in such things. This is too trivial for him, it's too small for him. He invests his time in much more important things, greater objectives he's got. Sometimes people speak about the dinosaurs, and someone speaks about the moon and all that, and reaching there, reaching up there. Right? Again, it's a thing that is futile. Even if you discovered, all right, in prehistoric times, there was something like a dinosaur, right? You discovered that and you drew a picture about it. What did you get out of it? What did you get? We believe, in principle, we believe in the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala can create what He wants. Right? Allah ta'ala can create what He wants. As we go and move on to the next world, to the Jannat, then every mu'min's height, his height in Jannat will be 70 hands. Right? Now you are not even 7 hands, now you're about 3 or 5 hands, right? And there you'll be 70 hands. So the animals also will be so big there in Jannat. So Allah Pak is already telling you that there will be such differences in the hereafter. Then why get into this? What do you get out of it? Now you're worried about whether the astronauts reached the moon or not. They haven't reached the moon. Time goes into it, discussions, they reached, they didn't reach. See? But at the end of the day, what do you get out of it? If they reached or they didn't reach, what did you get? You didn't get anything out of it. So rather invest your time in something that is more precious. That is why Allah Ta'ala warns us, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Mankind is in total loss. He is in great loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. And Allah Ta'ala takes his oath with a token of time. that this time is your asset actually. It is your capital. You invest this capital correctly, then you will find what a boon, what a favor, what a great profit you will make. But you lost sight of this capital of yours, and you didn't take advantage of it. And the moment is gone, now you're going to cry about it. And you'll cry the tears of blood, that this were the precious moments, these precious moments I didn't value. Now everybody is reaping the rewards, and myself, I wasted my time. I'm not getting what others are getting. They are reaping the rewards, and I'm not reaping the rewards. Had I only valued my time. So this time is a very, very precious commodity, very precious commodity. They say, tera harsans, tera harsans, nakhle musavi hai. Nakhle musavi hai. That every breath of yours is like the staff of Musa alayhi salam. The staff of Musa alayhi salam, what great wonders it did, right? So your every breath is like that, like the staff of Musa alayhi salam. So you take advantage of that breath of yours. Every moment, every second that is passing, you take advantage of it. Now this is one area that we need to think about. We need to think about that, is my time being used correctly? I'm falling into a discussion. Is it worth the while? Am I going to get anything at the end of this discussion? Or I'm not going to get anything out of it. If I'm not going to get anything out of it, then why? If we just review our times, and we see how much we can earn. A person is leaving his home, coming to the masjid, and he pulls out his tasbih. He says, no, I'm not going to listen to anything, and I'm not going to talk to anybody. From the home to the masjid, I'll take my tasbih, I'll read Durood Sharif. One tasbih comfortably he can read until he reaches the masjid, provided he just looks after his time. He saw someone, made a salam alaikum, gave him a smile and carried on. Now, if you want to entertain every discussion, then you'll meet this person, by how's the weather, what was the score, what happened in England, and what happened here, what's the latest. The second person, you have to tell him the same thing. The third thing person, you have to tell him the same thing. But in those moments, if you just value those moments, from one point to the other point, one tasbih you can complete. Many a times, from home to the masjid, you can read quarter sipara comfortably. People, where they complain that I don't have time to recite the Quran Sharif. Sometimes even hafizes, they complain that I don't have the time to recite Quran Sharif. But just from the home till the masjid, not even 1.5, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and comfortably you can recite your quarter sipara. You came to the masjid and quarter sipara is complete. That is provided the time of yours is valued. Is valued, you will earn so much. So this time of ours, Allama Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayh, is a very great leading muhaddis, very, very great muhaddis. And everybody speaks about him. Everybody that is acquainted with this field of hadith, then they must look at his books and they must quote him. At some point or the other, they are indebted to him. So in the old days, they didn't have fountain pens like we have, and ballpoints like how we have. They had a type of a pen where the nib would become blunt, then you sharpen it again, and again you use it, and again it becomes blunt, again you sharpen it, and again you use the pen. So his writing, his books are such, only his books are such, the normal student, I think it will take him, if he studies all his books, maybe his whole life will be finished, and he'll be just completing all his books. So many books he's written. At that time, when there wasn't this type of computer, there wasn't this type of pens, it was that type of pen where you were sharpening it, you are dipping it into the ink, and then you are writing. It's Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayh. But he was so particular about his time, meticulous about the time, that at the time that he's taken out the pen to sharpen, they say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And then again he's writing. What he's writing is all about Quran and Hadith. But those moments also, he doesn't want them to be wasted. Why must I waste those moments? Can't I derive something in those moments? And he's reciting, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Similar is our mind. Like we are careful of our moments, right? Then our mind also we need to be careful. This morning you read that incident, that goat is yielding milk and honey. And the end of the story, what it says the milk and the honey comes, it grows with the goodness of the heart. It grows, and the fertilizer that it requires, the fodder it requires, is the goodness of the heart. As there is goodness that is filling into the heart, then there is goodness that is coming out. So that's a general law. It's a general law with Allah Ta'ala. The more the goodness in the heart, the more there'll be goodness all around. And if you disregard this and allow any junk and any rubbish to get into the heart, then you won't get that goodness coming out of the heart. Simple, just look after your heart. Take care of your heart, and you'll find there's so much of goodness that will flow. Rasulullah says to his beloved Sahabi, Anas radiallahu anhu, served Rasulullah for 10 years. Rasulullah made dua for this youngster who attended to Rasulullah for 10 years. Allah Ta'ala grant you barakat in your life. Allah Ta'ala grant you barakat in your rozi. And he lived so long, approximately 100 years he lived. And they say that his own children, approximately his children or his grandchildren, put together, he buried approximately 120 of them. He buried approximately 120 of them. So much was the barakat as a result of the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if he had come to the Baytullah to make tawaf, then just his children and his grandchildren will fill the entire mataf. The whole mataf will be filled up. Whole mataf. See the barakat of the Mubarak dua. And this dua he got on account of the khidmat. He made khidmat to khidmat of Rasulullah Sallallahu for that period. This time of ours, if it is utilized correctly, in how many valuable areas we can invest the time, someone's khidmat with it. We took care of someone. We've got some moments, and we are making khidmat of people. And this was really the work of the Sahaba Kiram, even the Khulafa'i Rashidin. Umar radiallahu anhu wants to see how Abu Bakr starts off his day. Umar radiallahu anhu wants to see how Abu Bakr starts off his day. Anyway, then came Umar radiallahu anhu, he is Zamana of Khilafat, and how does he start the day? So he found out now from some people, the little knowledge that he had, and he found, Abu Bakr used to start off his day doing some khidmat of an old Jew. There was no other person that was old, frail, and needed help. There was a Jew in the end of that street, and after the Fajr namaz, he'll go straight and do khidmat for him. Abu Bakr, being the Khalifa of the Mu'mineen, and there is an old person that is his subject. Is my subject, I need to see that this person is comfort. Whether he's a Muslim or non-Muslim, immaterial. But the fact that he is my subject, I need to take care of him. So this comes about when a person is cautious about his time. I don't find the time. I'm a Khalifa now. I've got so much duties. I've got a duty towards my wife, towards my children, etc. I don't find enough time to do this. But he's got the time to do this as well. He's got the time. Not that the Sahaba Kiram were so rigid that they weren't amusing themselves. They used to amuse themselves as well. They had time to cheer up with children as well. Hazrat Abu Bakr has been appointed as the Khalifa, and the little children that used to amuse themselves with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, prior to him being appointed as the Khalifa, they complained to him, now you were appointed as the Khalifa, so you will not cheer up with us and you will not amuse us like how you used to do before. So he says, no, I am still the same friend of yours that was before the Khilafat. And tell me, how do you want your milk to be milked? You're milking. How do you want it to be served? That milk of yours, how do you want it to be served? You want it with the froth or you want it plain? Children like it with a froth, And now sometimes big children also like it with a froth. So he's asking those children, how do you want it? You want it with that froth, with all the froth up? Or you want it just plain? How do you want it? So they had time for everybody. It's not that they didn't cheer, they cheered. They had time for them as well. But they knew what they were in for. So as Umar inquires, after Abu Bakr is gone, that how did Abu Bakr start off his day? He said, no, he used to go to that end. And there was some Jew on that end, he used to go to his place. So anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu goes to that place and he sees a Jew that is totally helpless. Totally helpless. He can't even eat. He can't even sit up. So Umar goes in, cleans the place with his own hands. He cleans the place and then he tries to feed him. He's got some very, very soft food mashed up, you know, and puts it into the mouth. So the Jew by now, he had lost his sight. He's lost his sight, and when he saw that someone is feeding him, so he complains, who is this person that is feeding me that doesn't know how to feed like Abu Bakr used to feed? Who is this person that is feeding me that doesn't know how to feed me, and he's not feeding me like how Abu Bakr used to feed me? And how was Abu Bakr feeding you? He says, I am sore, my whole body is sore. So your fingers also are too hard. My tongue can't take that as well. Abu Bakr used to put it into his mouth. That's old, frail Jew. He used to put it into his mouth, and from his tongue he used to put it into my tongue. That I don't even feel that amount of pain. You see, that khidmat. So when our minds work right, we've got time for everybody. We have got compassion, we've got love for everybody. But if our minds don't work right, then our minds are only working on the digit, you know. It's 10 now, when it's coming 100, from 100 when it's going to come to 1,000, and how can I multiply it? It's just running on that one direction. Yeah. That's why Islam is saying, telling you, don't become narrow-minded, 10, 100, 1,000. Think of other areas, where you can explore, where you can make bargains. Think of those other areas. Are you restricting your mind to this? So let your minds, let our minds be pure, let them be wholesome and pure, so this purity can grow out of it, goodness can come out of it. Rasulullah advises this Anas radiallahu anhu that served him for 10 years, advised him, my son, if it's possible for you to pass the day and the night in a way that you have no malicious feelings, no ill feelings towards anybody, then do so. إِن تَسْتَطِيَ أَن تُمْسِيَ وَتُسْبِحَ وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِهَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ فَفَّلْ. If you can pass the night and the morning in a way that your heart is free of any type of malicious feeling. You see, the heart actually is the source, it's the base where the nur of Allah Ta'ala descends. It is the base where the nur of Allah Ta'ala descends. So if the heart is pure, then that nur will descend correctly, it will come in its place. Otherwise, if the heart is not pure, then where is the nur going to descend? It's a special, selected nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are asking for that virtue, you are asking for the goodness. But then, when you are asking for that goodness, you need to prepare the place. If you are inviting, for example, the Prime Minister, Mbeki, you are inviting, right? And your house is full of dirt, dung, sewage, smell, all that, animals are tied up, will that be appreciated? Will he come into your house? He will not come into your house. You need to then clean the place and do the place up according to that standard. Who am I inviting? I'm inviting some very, very special guest. Then I need to see the whole street must be clean. Forget my house. The whole street must be clean, spick and span. Any small piece of paper in the entire street, I'll pick it up. He's going to come this way here. And I need to see the whole thing, the whole place is clean. So you want the special nur of Allah to descend, so that you can progress, you can understand, you can gain the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, you can gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can have that enthusiasm and the drive to do good. You want that special mercy, that special gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want that special gift of Allah Ta'ala, you want goodness to flow out of you, then prepare the land. The land is the heart, that's the base. If the heart is filled up with muck and with dirt and with sewage and with dung, after some girl and after some wealth and after something that is impermissible, something that is lust and malicious feelings towards others. No, this person here is like this and that person is like this and this person is like this. Why did you do this to me? All the time, it's just malice. Running people down, despising them in your heart, or planning against them, being treacherous against them, or jealous, entertaining jealousy over them. envy over them. This is all dirt. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, this is dirtier than suraj. You know, we talk of suraj and so dirty, right? So in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, all these malicious feelings, these dirty feelings are even worse. We think this is dirt, but really by Allah Ta'ala, that's even worse. So how can that nur of Allah Ta'ala descend? How can that goodness descend? You want that goodness to descend, how can it descend? How will it descend? So then rid your heart. Rid your heart. You clear your heart. And you keep reminding your heart that this is not my business. And you flush those evil thoughts, and then you say that my business is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala. His favors, I must try and fill my heart understanding the favors of Allah Ta'ala, that He's given me Iman, He's given me Islam, He's given me the tawfiq to perform my namazes, to keep the roza, to practice the sunnah, etc. So I need to keep flooding my heart with these type of thoughts. Now when you're flooding your heart with this type of thoughts, then your heart will be like a garden, you know. Anybody wants to enter that garden, hey, there's fragrance here, there's fruit here, there's flowers here. It's a beauty. You're entering amongst people, people love you. Because the heart is filled with good. You only talk of good, you think of good, you see good, your outlook is good. So people look at you as a garden. There's only goodness here. They will frequent you, they will like you, they will have a liking for you, they'll have an affection for you. And you overall, you will feel good as well. Because the heart is only filled with good. But on the contrary, if the heart is not filled with good, and you're not cared about what's coming into the heart, now it's filled with dirt and filth, malice and hatred and jealousy and pride and greed, and ostentation and show. All these type of things are full in your heart. Love for wealth, just accumulating and accumulating. Al-haakum al-takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. The mutual rivalry of piling wealth. The mutual rivalry of piling wealth has distracted you. It distracts you. It's piling up, piling up, piling up. Al-haakum al-takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. The mutual rivalry of piling wealth, competing with each other, it distracts you. It distracts you to such a moment that until you come to the qabristan, the heart is just consumed by this. It's piling up, piling up, piling up, until you realize now it's time to come to the qabristan. So if the heart is not filled with this goodness, then it will be filled with all this type of dirt and filth. Right? All the type of dirt and filth. So people won't like you as well. Say, oh, hey, just keep away from this person. His heart is filled with malice. There's dirt in him. There's a scorpion there. There's a snake there. There's a lion there. There's a leopard there. So when they look at you, they don't look at you straight. They look at you as an enemy. Perhaps you're going to talk something. You'll hurt someone. You'll talk something that is not palatable, not enjoyable, not pleasant. So they won't like you. So people they will distance themselves. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like you. The malaika don't like you because of the dirty and corrupt heart. And here the people love you. Allah Ta'ala loves you. The malaika love you because of the beauty of the heart. So Rasulullah advises this sahabi, Anas radiallahu anhu, then you don't allow any malice, any type of ill feeling to come to your heart. Keep your heart clean, pure. You'll find that nur, that special blessing of Allah Ta'ala descends. Now you're feeling good, you are thinking good, you can understand and see things better. Why? The heart is filled with good. So everything is working out for you. It's only good that is coming out of the heart. And then Rasulullah reminds him, O Anas, وَهَذِهِ مِن سُنَّتِي. This is my sunnat. Imagine there are so many sunnats of Rasulullah, right? But Rasulullah makes a special note to say, that وَهَذِهِ مِن سُنَّتِي. A man has got 12 children, says, this is my child. What he means? He doesn't mean that I ostracize the other child, but he's my special child. He's showing some special bond with this child here. Therefore he says that this is my child. So Rasulullah is showing something very special here, that this is my sunnah. You know, that this is my way of life. I have a very clean heart. And I wish this for my ummati as well. But my ummati must have a clean heart. So when Rasulullah loves this for us, and we say we love Rasulullah, then shouldn't we endeavor to cleanse the heart? Otherwise we can't be called the lovers of Rasulullah. He says, I love this. And then I say, no, I hate this, na'uzubillah. Can I be called a lover? No, I can't be called a lover. If you love it, then you must love what Rasulullah loves. هَذِهِ مِن سُنَّتِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. You love my sunnah, then you loved me. It's an indication that you love Rasulullah SAW, your heart will be clean. And if you don't have your heart clean, then you don't have the true love. You have the love for Rasulullah SAW, then your heart will definitely be clean. And then afterwards, you know, they say the cherry on the top. The cherry on the top, Rasulullah SAW says, and وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And you love me, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And you love me, you will be with me in Jannah. So you got these few days now. Today is the 27th. Allah Ta'ala willing, there may be another 3 more days. So let's endeavor to do this. Cleanse our heart, clean it, polish it up. Let it be a garden. Let it be a fruit orchard, you know, that everybody sees it, they are in love with us. Allah Pak sees, He's in love with us. The Malaika love us. Everybody loves us. And we will feel good ourselves. You know, we feel depression, despondency, and all the type of feelings that we have. Now we cleanse the heart, we feel good. The Malaika feel good about us. Allah Ta'ala feels good about us. So we are good across the board, we are good. Overall, Rasulullah SAW loves us, and He says, don't worry, you'll be my companion in Jannah. Do you need anything else? Where Rasulullah SAW says, you'll be my companion in Jannah, you don't need anything else beyond that. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.